A long time ago.
It's the ship that made the Kessel Run and left them fall apart with a great disturbance of the Force.
I told you she would never consciously betray the rebellion.
That's no more.
Contact Tri-Helium has pulling us in!
Marvel Comics Group, adventures beyond the greatest space fantasy film of all, Star Wars! It's rolling, and not even the Empire can stop it. Join Luke, Han, and Chewie on the Jawa Express. Long ago, in a galaxy far, far away, there exists a state of cosmic civil war. A brave alliance of underground freedom fighters has challenged the tyranny and oppression of the awesome Galactic Empire. This is their story. Stan Lee presents Star Wars, the greatest space fantasy of all. Continuing the saga, begun in the film by George Lucas. Archie Goodwin, writer-editor. Carmine Infantino and Bob Wieck, artists. John Costanza, letterer. Petra Goldberg, colorist. Jim Shooter, consulting editor. The Jawa Express. Dawn on the Dune Sea. A lot has happened to Luke Skywalker since he returned to his homeworld of Tatooine. This particular moment is one of the worst. And thus begins Star Wars issue number 32, with a release date of November of 1979 and a cover date of February 1980. Han Solo, Luke Skywalker, Chewbacca, R2-D2, and C-3PO are stranded in the Dune Sea of Tatooine. This after fleeing the Imperial Stormtroopers who were hunting them down in Mos Eisley. They arrange a deal with a group of local Jawas to travel with them in their sand crawler. They soon discover additional evidence of the plans of the House of Taggy from the two Taggy brothers, who we had seen in the prologue in our previous issue, have been hovering above Tatooine, unleashing their plot. They know that they've been working together with the Empire to create a long-range freezing mechanism, a freeze ray of sorts, but the purpose of this technology still remains a mystery to Luke, Han, Chewie, and the droids. They elude their Imperial pursuers and double back to Mos Eisley, and we are left on a cliffhanger in this issue after they have gone across the desert in this sand crawler, making their way back. And since the Imperials are after a sand crawler, this should do the trick, kid. Right, Han, and our friends the Jawas can lose themselves in the Dune Sea. Taggy's scheme may not be finished, but neither are we as they go racing off in their land speeder. Next issue, in the depths of space, Luke Skywalker versus Baron Taggy in Saber Clash. Another great installment here of our Star Wars series. Again, counting down, leading up to the premiere of The Empire Strikes Back in 1980. I wonder if this freezing mechanism, this freeze ray, is maybe a little wink or foreshadowing by the Marvel bullpen, letting the readers know that, maybe something in Empire might be a little chilly. Who knows? But indeed, you would think by this time that Lucasfilm would have started providing the Marvel bullpen the plot summary, at least, for The Empire Strikes Back, if not the scripting and storyboards with which they could go ahead and start production of the comic book adaptation of The Empire Strikes Back. Nonetheless, this is a bridge issue, meaning we had the hot pursuit by the Imperial Stormtroopers of Luke, Chewie, Han, and the droids out of Mos Eisley, out to the desert. The land speeder, indeed, ends up not working, and they're having to make repairs to it. Blaster, as the Stormtrooper had said in the last episode slash last issue, had hit the coolant area and the land speeder overheated. But with some good repairs and then taking that land speeder back ultimately to Mos Eisley in the end, after getting a long ride with the Jawas on the Sandcrawler. Now, I found the interactions between Luke, Han, and Chewie with the Jawas really amusing. Jawas being quite small in comparison to Luke, Chewie, and Han. And the complaints of Luke, Chewie, and Han of having to duck and maneuver in a very small, confined space there on the Sandcrawler. Of course, R2 and C-3PO always being on guard that they wouldn't be acquired by the Jawas and entered into inventory while they're on that Sandcrawler too. So our party here is very much on edge, even though the Jawas are quite hospitable and good hosts. This is a really uncomfortable situation for Han, Chewie, Luke, and the droids to be in, this cramped sand crawler making their way across the Dune Sea to avoid detection by the Imperial stormtroopers. This cold mechanism, cold ray, it's pretty cool, literally, figuratively. And it provides a sharp contrast to the twin suns of Tatooine and the heat of that desert. So from that standpoint, I think Carmine Infantino shines again in this issue, adding the cold of this ray and depiction of that snowy white against that backdrop of the sandy desert and heat. The drawing of the sand crawler is very cool, and the interior of it is great. Again, Carmine Infantino really goes to town here. And the action sequences here with the stormtroopers in hot pursuit in the desert, the shooting of blasters, explosions, they're really, really cool panels here in this story. I also love the depiction of that equipment, that troop transport would be iconic in the Star Wars line of toys and never really made it into live action until we had the streaming series of The Mandalorian. But this is that iconic troop transport that hovers over the ground, has the slots, believe, 3 or 4 on each side where the stormtroopers would enter into their little bins, if you will, and a gun turn on the top. It's just really cool the way Carmine Infantino drew this, and that's a lot of fun to see here on the comic book pages. The Taggy brothers are wreaking havoc, and you get a little more glimpse into their scheme and their interaction with the Imperials. That's very cool, specifically on the testing site for the cold ray. And they seem to do this at dawn or dusk, so they're not doing it in the extreme heat of the Tatooine twin suns. I would say that this particular issue isn't the best or the worst. And mind you, all of these have been very entertaining. But I think it serves as a good depiction of what the average issue would be within the Star Wars series thus far. This is a good bridge issue to get us to what I think will be a more climactic or epic part of our story, anticipating this saber clash between Baron Taggy and Luke Skywalker. I would highly recommend anyone and everyone who is interested in speculative fiction as to what might have happened between The Empire Strikes Back and the previous installment of A New Hope to read this series. As Star Wars fans, all we had were the novelizations of the movies and, of course, the entry of Splinter of the Mind's Eye that would come out. So the comic books were that lifeline for Star Wars fandom to satiate our hunger for more Star Wars content between the movies. And Archie Goodwin, Carmine Infantino, Bob Wiak, John Costanza, and Petra Goldberg deliver on that and provide a wonderful issue here in Star Wars number 32. Obi-Wan, take us out.
Your destiny lies above the different paths of your mind. The Force will be with you.
This Marvel Legends comic book series is dedicated in loving memory of Charles Lippincott, who George Lucas hired in late 1975 to join the first Star Wars production as Vice President of Advertising, Publicity, Promotion, and Merchandising. To quote George, "Charlie was one of the founding pillars of the Star Wars films and phenomenon. He began in earnest the concept of licensing motion pictures at a time when only other company doing so was Disney. Charlie was the one who said early on that we can make this work, and was the first person to both develop Star Wars licensing and engage with the fans. He had insights into marketing and public relations that were truly unparalleled. And prime example of that is San Diego Comic-Con today. Charlie is widely credited for setting the trajectory of Star Wars fandom with his grassroots-style convention presentations beginning in 1976, well before the release of the first film. Those early appearances included Mark Hamill, who accompanied Charlie on a promotional tour for Star Wars. This barnstorming of conventions celebrating science fiction, fantasy, and comic books resulted in movie theaters welcoming large crowds of fans on Star Wars opening day, due in large part to Charlie's early promotional efforts. In addition, Charlie sought out the very first comic book and toy deals with Marvel and Kenner, now Hasbro, respectively. Two iconic legacies that continue to this day. Thank you, Charlie, for Star Wars comics becoming a reality. And that's what this Legends series is all about. The Force will be with him always."